Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Diane. Yep, come on up, man.
I just wanted to go ahead and announce that we are planning to have a vacation Bible school this year. It's going to be the third week in June. Yes. It's going to be much different than normal vacation Bible schools, but we have put a sign-up sheet in the back, well, the front. So on your way out or whenever, go ahead and put your name on there. If you just feel that you're not teacher material, trust me, we will have a place for you there. Like I said, it's going to be a little bit different this year. We're going to be planning a lot of outdoor things. So just please put your name on the sign-up sheet, and we'll get some more information to you soon. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate you doing that.
I'm excited about Vacation Bible School once again. Amen. Amen. Sign up. Sign up. That's one of the strongest evangelistic movements that we have as a church. One of our strong evangelical opportunities, if you would, that we have not only to reach children and teens, but adults and senior adults as well. So you begin to pray about that. I pray that God's people will just volunteer and say, "Here I am, Lord, use me." And we'll just have a blessed time together. And if it rains, we'll be blessed. If the sun shines, we'll be blessed. And we'll just see God's glory manifested. So I get our minds around that. This morning, as we look at Romans chapter 8, verse 6, we have been challenging you to participate in the GIGO, the gospel in, gospel out. Not the garbage in and the garbage out, but the gospel in and the gospel out. And next week's Bible verse is on there, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. That's next week's message. That's next week's Bible verse. I would ask you to read and to memorize. This week's Bible verse, this past week in today's message, is for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so we're going to look at that this morning. And I challenge you to continue to memorize Scripture. Continue to look at God's Word because it's so, so important that we get God's Word in our minds and in our hearts. How many of y'all would admit you have had times where your mind has wandered? You're just walking along and sometimes you're just driving. I've done this. Your mind is wandering and you're supposed to go left at the red light and your mind's just wandering and you go right and just take off. Karen says, "Why aren't you taking me to work?" "Oh, I was going to church first." We're guilty. But today we're going to talk about how important our minds are and how that we need to be spiritually minded. Our mindset should be upon what God intends for us and to receive the blessings that God has in store for us to begin to walk with Him in victory and to walk with Him each day. We need to be Spirit-led, Spirit-minded. Title of this morning's message is Hostile or Hosanna. Hostile or Hosanna. Spirit of God's here. Do you feel that? Do you see that? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do you go with public opinion sometimes? I mean, if you went back and looked at the styles of clothing. If you went back and looked at the styles of hairdos, we tend to allow the public or the world to sway us. Anybody remember mullets? I could never have one. Back then, especially now. But it was popular. Swaying with public opinions. You ever been caught up in a moment? Somebody's telling something that's just totally against your morals and principles, and you get caught up in the moment. Someone's telling a bad joke and you find yourself laughing or going along with. Do you ever go with public opinion when you're in a crowd and the pressure's on? Or are you led by the Holy Spirit's power of God to stand upon the Christian world view? Folks, I'm telling you, right now, more than ever, we need Christians to stand up, to memorize God's Word, to know God's Word, and stand upon God's principles and the biblical worldview more than ever in our lifetime. We need to stand upon what God says. We don't need to be swayed by attitudes. We don't need to be swayed by actions. We don't need to be swayed or driven by our emotions or our feelings. Our feelings can take us where we don't belong. Our feelings can lead us wrongly. We don't need to be driven by our emotions or our feelings. This morning I ask you, specifically, who sways or persuades you? Are you one-on-one this way with somebody, and then when you're in a crowd of people, you're something totally different? Are you this way on Sunday, but you're this way on Monday? Had a young man years and years ago by the name of Anthony. Anthony was in juvenile detention. He was being tried as an adult because of the crime that he committed. I had some extra time with Anthony just to share the gospel, and he shared his story of where he came from. And he shared with how things had transpired, even though he didn't have to. And Anthony accepted Christ Jesus as his personal Savior and Lord there while he was in jail. And it was a time that he and I could read God's Word and disciple. And I asked him, what advice would you give other students and teenagers? And very quickly, he said, be careful who you're with, who you hang out with. And be careful what you do. Be careful with the crowds that you hang out with. Be careful what you put in your mind that leads you swaying, persuading. I pray that you will be spiritually minded and spiritually led. The story that we find in Matthew leads us to the conclusion that the crowds who joined one day, laying those palm leaves down as a form of royalty for a victory for the king is coming. The palm leaves was something that they put upon the victorious ones, the ones that won the races. They were also for royalty and even on the currency of that day as well. And they laid that down as Jesus came into Jerusalem. And what did they cry? That day when Jesus was riding upon that donkey that came in, what did they cry when they laid those palm leaves down? Crucify Him? Not that day. They hollered, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna. And we should be still saying that today. Hosanna. Just a few days later, very likely that a lot of those same people that cried Hosanna, glory to God in the highest, those same people were swayed and persuaded to holler, crucify Him! Crucify Him! They were swayed. They were carnally minded. They even railed on Him. You saved others, come down and save yourself. One day praising Him, one day very hostile toward Him. The carnal-minded life is death, but the spiritually-minded life is peace and life. The decisions that you make in life determine death or life. Is our mind set on the world, set upon flesh, or set upon ourselves? Or is our mind set upon Christ and what He has for us? Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Beginning in verse 9. And the multitudes that went before and they followed and cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That was one day. But then we see a turn of events. When people were pressed and confronted with their sin. Just days later, they were confronted with their sin. Their carnally fleshed ways were very challenged. And the people that cried Hosanna no longer was getting their way. When people don't get their way and are challenged for living in flesh, do they not only retaliate but tell lies? Hello? Do they also politicize their agenda and talk to other people trying to get them on board and persuade them? Let's do it this way. That's not the way I want to do it. Let's do it this way. That's what they did here. Did you see what Jesus did? I think He needs to be crucified. He spoke blasphemy. And they began to change people's minds. They were challenged. And they began to politicize their own agenda. And they were close to the Holy Spirit's leading. I'm sure that they're just like today, that they were thinking and saying things like, I don't need to talk to God about this. I know what we're supposed to do. That's just the way things are. And that's just the way that I am. And they begin to think mindly, carnally. They begin to think fleshly and carnally. But I'll tell you, prayer is powerful. And listening and obeying God is the spiritual-minded thing to do in all aspects of our lives. How could it be that one day a peaceful parade of Jesus coming to town could change into a protest and a riot by a mob shouting, crucify Him, crucify Him? How could it be that they transferred that fast from Hosanna to being that hostile toward the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Can you see how that relates in our culture today? Can you see how that relates in church today? Can you see how that relates in our own personal lives today? That you can be swayed and persuaded so fast to the fleshly, carnal ways of the world? If it can happen to the disciples, can it happen to us as well? Do we not have such a need to get the gospel in our minds and hearts and soul? Do we not have the need, the desperate need to meet with Jesus and realize that we cannot go out each and every day and work and do the things that we have the pleasure and blessings to do without God's help and the Holy Spirit of God filling us and equipping us to do what He's called us to do? That we can be swayed so fastly? Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. It didn't say that greater are you going out and do it without Christ. I can't do anything without Christ, and neither can you. Hosanna is often thought of as a declaration of praise, a similar hallelujah. But it's actually a plea for salvation. It's a plea for salvation. Literally, Hosanna means, I beg you to save. Please, please deliver us. The crowd was shouting, acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and He was able to save. But they didn't understand completely what God's plan was for His Son Jesus. Jesus had taught them. He had taught them. He trained. He had preached. He had helped them. And He had healed so many people. The people had experienced His power. They had experienced His touch. They felt His power. They witnessed Jesus, God in flesh, the perfect Son of God. They had seen Him, been with Him, and done the things around Him, and seen how He had the power of God. They had their ways of life, though, They had their own agendas. They had their own idea of what Jesus would do for them. They had their way of life, and it was a selfish agenda. You ever watch people's reactions? You ever watch the reactions go from positive to negative when they don't get their own way? You ever saw that episode on Andy Griffith where that little boy taught Opie how to pitch a tantrum? You ever watch that? You ought to go watch it. He taught him, he said, "What are you doing?" "I'm holding my breath." "That's good exercise." Lays down on the floor, starts kicking his feet. And Andy says, "Well, just don't get your clothes dirty." We may not be that visible, but sometimes when we don't get our way or things don't go the way we think they should, sometimes our reactions is carnal-minded, fleshly-minded. Could a born-again Christian be carnally-minded? Yes. Not experiencing, though, the blessings that God has for them. And God has such a desire for each of us to walk with Him, to listen to Him and obey Him. And regardless of what's going on around us, understand that God is in control and tap into Him and ask Him what He thinks we should do. Years ago, there was bracelets and all kinds of movement toward what would Jesus do? WWJD, what would Jesus do? I would say, what would Jesus have me to do? And I challenge you to say that same thing and mean it internally. When you begin to think spiritually minded and ask Jesus, what would you have me to do? And see what God says and obey. In the days ahead in our story, the carnal flesh was addressed. People's faith and trust in God was very much put to test. The temple, the house of prayer, the church, should also be made the easy place for people to come into, right? Amen? Should make it so easy for people to come into that they feel loved and they feel accepted. So then why did Jesus confront the sin that was in the temple? Look, if you would, in Matthew 21, beginning in verse 12. "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but they have made it a den of thieves." God was angry, but did not sin. But Jesus did confront and He called out the money changers. You see, the Romans, their money was adulterous money. And the temple only accepted adultery-free money. The money changers saw the advantage in this. And they charged a fee for all the people coming to get the acceptable money. At this busy, busy time where the people were having to buy the currency that was accepted. And so the people were taking advantage of it. The money changers were taking advantage of that. And they were making a lot of money. And they were making it extremely hard on the people, especially the Gentiles, to come and get the money that they needed. The poor people could not afford a lamb to bring to the sacrifice. And so they took advantage of this situation as well. And they sold doves. They jacked the prices up of all these for greed. Basically, they were making it very difficult for the Gentiles and anybody else to enter the temple. Should, church, there be a set of rules, regulations, and even deny people to come to Roan Creek Baptist Church? Should there become rules, regulations for people to come into the house of God here at Roan Creek? No. Could being hostile to new people coming to our church, new people wanting to get involved, could that be carnal? Yes. It certainly could. Flip back, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 7 and see what God's Word says there. Also about carnally. Let's back up and go 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal minded is enmity, meaning hostile, against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please who? God. They cannot please God. So hostile. To be spiritually minded, we must have first a personal relationship with God. We must talk to God and listen to God and walk with God. We must listen to Him and trust His plan, His way, and allow Him to change us and to be in control. We need to be in submission to God, led by the Holy Spirit, to experience the life and the peace that God has planned for us, for you specifically. It is very easy to get passionately distracted in the flesh and become hostile to God's plans and even to God's people. The Holy Spirit's power, living in all who believe and confess the Lord Jesus, has the power for you and I to live victoriously with life and peace. Under the submission of the Holy Spirit of God, your mind, your will, and emotions should be open to receive the spiritual minded, the spiritual blessings and peace and life that God already has in store for you. To experience that life abundantly. To experience what God has planned for you. To experience His presence daily, walking with you and talking with you. And knowing that He's there. Knowing that He's speaking to you about something. Knowing that He is in full control of your life. And you begin to think about Him. So when all the distractions go on around you, you can still think about Him and say, God, what is it that You have me to do in the situation around me? Because see, Satan does this. Satan wants you to react quickly so that you don't think spiritually minded. He wants you to think selfishly. He wants you to think fleshly. He wants you to think about what's in it for you. He wants you to think about what the crowds and the majority of people think about. And you have to begin to worry about what other people think instead of worrying about what God thinks and what He wants you to do with the situation that you're in. God should be in charge. Amen? We need to listen to Him. We need to be in submission to Him. Under our mind, will, and emotions, we need to be open. Next week, we're going to look at the power of God and the strength of God. And I want you to invite other people to come and worship with us on this Easter coming Sunday morning. The world then and the world now is hostile to believers. Do you believe that? It don't take very far in your reading of the news today to find that out. Hostile to believers. Not incidentally hostile, but purposefully hostile. Wolves are intentional about harming, to inflict harm on sheep. In such an environment, the question becomes, how can we advance the kingdom of God effectively without becoming predatory ourselves and fleshly minded? Jesus taught that to His followers. To be Christ-like in a godless world, they must combine the wisdom of a serpent and the harmlessness of a dove. God's Word can navigate us through. the Holy Spirit of God living in us will equip us and empower us to live victorious in life and peace. My friend Chris Turner, who preached a sermon here for the Tennessee Baptist several years ago, he wrote this week, and I affirm this, Christians are losing the spiritual discipline of self-reflection and a willingness to subject themselves to the Holy Spirit's conviction. We're refusing to consider perspectives of others than our own. Our pride is blinding us. We elevate demanding our rights at the cost of redeeming our gospel message irrelevant. We impose our political and religious perspectives and arguments with the world we're called to serve and share Jesus with. May you and I connect with God right now and allow Him to search our hearts and speak into our lives and souls this very moment, today, right now. Are you an enemy hostile to God? Or are you shouting with your soul internally, Hosanna? Are you hostile or are you Hosanna? Which is it? May God speak into our hearts this morning and search us to know. Because the wages of sin is death. To live carnally minded is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You're either for God or you're against God this morning. There's no in between. You're either for God or you're against God. Being carnally minded, fleshly, is against God. And Satan is very powerfully today stealing and killing and destroying. Jesus came to seek and to save and to give life and to give it more abundantly. How are you going to act upon what God has spoken to you about this morning? In just a few moments, the crowd of you are going to come. You're going to take the elements of this table and remember what Jesus did for you upon the cross. Are you going to reflect and ask God to forgive you of those things which He searched in your heart that you've been carnally minded about? The Bible warns us to examine ourselves that we don't take of these elements unworthy. That we should search our hearts if there's sin. That we should confess. We should admit it so He can cleanse us. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, the Spirit of God may be drawing you to that salvation experience this morning. That you can ask forgiveness of your sins, believe in what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. And you can confess Him as Lord and take of these elements this morning. If you have been caught up in the world drift, and today you need to confess and repent, this invitation is for you. If today God's calling you as a follower of Jesus Christ to join in what God's doing here at Roan Creek Baptist Church, do that today as well. But may we search our hearts this morning and allow God to speak to us because He's here. He so wants to meet with us. He wants to change us daily as we deny ourselves and to take up our cross and follow Him. We need the Holy Spirit of God. We need God in our lives to be spiritually minded. To live the life of peace in a world that's chaotic and nothing but conflict. Will all the world fall about us? I want to keep my eyes on Christ. I pray you do too. Father in heaven, as we feel Your presence here today and know that You're speaking, God, I pray that each one of us will search our hearts this morning and take this opportunity to come to you. Father, as we do that, we know that you can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some here today, maybe even some watching, don't know you as personal Savior. And if this was to be their last moment and they stood before you, God, you would say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What a sad moment. God, I pray that this morning their hearts would be changed and that, God, you would draw them to know you as Savior and Lord, and they would confess you. May we take this time, Lord, to reflect on who you are and what you desire for us to do. May we obey. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Please stand, if you would, for this invitation. Without Him, you can't do nothing. Ask Him what He would desire for you to do. And then would you follow in obedience? Oh, how He loves you. Take this time to examine yourself. Thankful that God saved you?
Amen.
Man, this should be louder than that. Are you really, really thankful that God saved you?
Amen.
Amen. I am so grateful that God saved me. And as we come to this table this morning, may we remember what God's love through His Son Jesus Christ did for you and I. As our deacons come, what we will do is we'll have prayer, and we will take of the elements. You're welcome to come out of your pew if you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and you've been baptized. We welcome you to come down the aisle, take of the element, the bread and the cup, and return to your seat. And once everybody returns to your seat, we'll take of the elements together. Let's pray right now, can we? Almighty God, how can we ever say we love you enough? May we think about and remember what you have done for each of us. And may it stir up in us a new and a fresh and an excitement to serve You, to share about You with others. May You receive all the praise and all the glory for everything that's done this very day and the days ahead. May we keep focused on You, spiritually minded. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, come to the tables, take of the bread and the cup, return to your seat, and we will take of the elements together.
Received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, that same night in which He was betrayed, took bread and gave thanks. Would Tom Nelson join us up that prayer? Great. Thank you for all you've done for us. Father, if we can take it. said, take heed of, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup and he supped. He blessed it. Brother Bob, would you bless the cup as we take it?
Father, dear God, we thank you for this remembrance, O Jesus, of the death of the cross, the resurrection, and the gift and promise of life eternal, and the shedding of his blood. Thank you for the shedding of that blood and healing your body. In Jesus' name.
Amen. This cup is the new testament in my blood, Jesus said. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come.
Amen.
May God come quickly. May we be prepared. And may we call others to know him so that they'll be prepared as well. May God bless. Let's all.